Okay, you were saying now, you were saying that you did not work very long after your last son, John, was born because of your health?
Not because of my health. After John was born.
Mama, I hate to.
Now, were you saying something about your legs were bothering you after that time, so you couldn't work too much?
I had trouble with my legs, but I went to Dr. Wise, and he cleared that up very well.
Uh-huh.
So that doesn't bother me anymore. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Well, okay, but that was all, you just went to the doctor for that. You didn't have to be hospitalized or anything, and it wasn't prolonged.
No.
Okay. By this time, had your husband passed?
He died in 29.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, he's gone. Yes.
Okay. Were you a grandparent by this time?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh.
Your oldest
Thelma,
girl?
Thelma had two children.
Uh-huh.
And, Thelma had two children.
Wallace?
Tom had...
Wallace has one.
That's my grandchild. Her children have children. They're my great-grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some great-great-grandchildren.
Oh. Now, after Mr. Eden passed in 1929, did you marry anymore?
No, I never married anymore.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there anything particular that happened during this time? I know that it was beginning to be the depression time, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then after that, the World War II broke out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We got help from the city. We had to have help from the city.
During the depression?
During the depression, yeah. We had to have help. So,
Did any of your children go to World War II?
Huh?
Any of your children go to World War II?
Oh, yes. I had... Scott went overseas. Tom, I don't know for some...
Tom did, but Wallace did.
Well, my oldest son, he didn't go overseas, but he was in the service.
Mm-hmm.
Wallace, Tom, Scott, and John, all four of them were in the service. But Scott is the only one who went overseas.
Oh.
And he was in the Battle of the Bulge. Scott was.
Oh.
He's got several medals, war medals, several. And,
you've got a war hero.
Uh-huh.
Gee. Now, during this time, right after that time, how many people were there in your household?
When?
During World War II, after your husband passed, and Depression time and all.
Well, after Iris finished high school, she went to New York to work. Iris hasn't been home since she left, just to live, since she left high school. So, mm-hmm.
Did anyone live with you?
Huh?
Did you live alone?
Oh, no, I didn't live alone. My mother was here. She bought the home on Connecticut Avenue.
So you were, by this time, you... Can I ask you when you moved over on Connecticut Avenue?
What year?
When did you move? You don't remember exactly when, but your mother purchased that house.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Did she have any problems trying to get a house at that time?
No, because they thought she was white, you see? And it was all white neighborhood. And they thought she was white. And she had no problem until after she got there and they found she was black. This woman stood across the street from the house. She said, "I'm putting a curse on that house." So probably she did or not. We had plenty of trouble, I'll tell you that. The neighbors But my mother was, she was able to to talk, I tell you. And she told, she said, I know why you're acting like you are, because we're not white. She said, but she said, don't worry about it, because we are here and we're going to stay here. And you, if you don't like it, you can move away yourself, but we're going to stay here. So we've been, the house has been there. My son lives in it now.
Oh, yes?
Yes,
so it's still a family house?
It's still a family house.
Mm-hmm.
Because when my mother died, she didn't leave a will. But my sister took it over, and she married. She got married, and so the house was still hers when she died. So now John is there, and he takes care of the old man. He's upstairs.
This is your sister's husband.
My son takes care of him, mm-hmm. and he said he wanted to stay there until the house collapsed on him. So
who was that one?
That's the husband. So it looks like that's what's going to happen.
What's the number of that house?
264 Connecticut Avenue.
Oh, gee. Now, I want to go back for a little bit. Okay, so Iris had moved away. Who was there with you then after the boys were in the service?
My mother was here.
Your mother, that was it?
Uh-huh. And my sister.
And your sister
uh-huh.
lived in the house
uh-huh.
then? Okay.
Well, she lived there. She and her husband
lived upstairs.
They had their apartment there, but they worked together. They worked out in Canfield's house in Fairfield.
Mm-hmm.
So they were there only certain times.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So, but their apartment was there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like her living there because her apartment was there. But so my mother and my children, we lived upstairs because we had the top floor and the attic part, they had two bedrooms up there.
Mm-hmm.
So we could use all that, mm-hmm. all that space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we did it. And when Iris finished school, of course, she went straight to New York and had a job. So that was, well, Tom was married then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Tom was married.
Yeah, Tom
and
was
Scott,
married, living in New Haven.
And Scott was married.
Mm-hmm.
John
and
Sue were there.
And Thelma.
Thelma was in Richmond.
Thelma was in Richmond and Wallace was in Massachusetts. So they were all gone. Just
John and
Sue were there.
Okay.
So it was John and Sue and my mother and I.
Uh-huh. What was your relationship to your grandchildren after they were born? I mean, did any of them come to live with you or visit you?
Well, none of the grandchildren, they had homes of their own. They would live with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
No, they didn't come to live with me. But we have a very close relationship with all my grandchildren, all of them. I talked to my great-grandchildren in California last night. We have a very close relationship there.
Now, and I think you said earlier that you were still in your 40s when you retired from work, right?
Yeah, 42 when John was born.
Uh-huh. Now, after you stopped working, were you, at this time, did they have any kind of retirement fund for people after they had worked?
Oh, no. I'll tell you what I did. In the summer, my sister, she worked weekends for a family in Westport, and I would go down and help her weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, wasn't much money in it, but I worked with her. And we all through the summer, we worked in these people's home in Westport.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't live there. She didn't live there either. She came home every night. But we worked there in the summer. Together.
So you had no kind of income when you after you retired, huh?
No, I didn't have no income.
Do you know whether Reed's provided any kind of retirement fund? I'm assuming now that you didn't work for them enough years to be eligible, but if you had, did they have a fund?
I don't know.
You know?
I really don't.
Well, I imagine Raymond gets the pension.
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't tell you anything I don't know.
No.
Okay. After you became, what is the usual retirement age, let's say 65 and over, by this time, who was in your household? Were you still living alone?
On Connecticut Avenue?
Yeah.
Oh.
When did you move over here?
I moved there. We were living on Broad Street. We moved there.
When you?
After my mother bought the house, we lived downstairs, and she lived upstairs.
Okay. When did you move from Connecticut Avenue then? Here. You moved from here?
No, I moved from here. I moved to Father Penny Village. I lived in that was one of the first Father Penny Village. It was very nice.
And I'm told
it was. I lived there for 16 years. And I lived there, and I left there, I came here to live. Mm-hmm. And I've been living here since the building opened. I think that was 1950. Was it 1957?
I'm not sure, but you've been here about 16 or 17 years, I guess.
In this building?
Uh-huh. So when the first building was built, when it was first built, I've been in this apartment ever since this building was built.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a very nice
building. Mm-hmm. It still is.
Well, they don't keep it like it did from the beginning.
Mom will be shocked to know they wax on the floor downstairs.
Okay. When you lived in Father Panic, did you live alone?
Oh, yeah, I lived alone in Father Panic.
Okay.
But Iris was working in New York then, and she could come home more regular than she can now.
Uh-huh.
And, I lived there alone. And I had it was a lovely apartment. Nice big rooms. I enjoyed it so much. I had a big window, and I had them full of all kinds of plants. I just enjoyed it there. But when they began to go down, I couldn't take it anymore.
I understand.
And I applied for here. I didn't have an easy time getting in here. I went to the where I should have gone to ask for an apartment, and they told me that this building was only for veterans' wives. It wasn't for just anybody. I didn't think to tell them that I had four boys in the service. So I went to my priest, and I told Father Coleridge, I said, I asked Father if he had any influence over the housing or anything. He said, no. He said, well, why? I said, well, I thought maybe you could help me try to get into the new building that they're building for senior citizens. He said, well, I can try. So he went, MacDonald Isaac was the first director here. So he went to MacDonald Isaac, and MacDonald Isaac sent me word, I would certainly have an apartment right here. He would see to it, and he did.
Did everyone have difficulty getting in here?
At the beginning, they screened very, very closely.
Oh.
Anybody who moved in here, they were screened very closely.
Uh-huh.
But now, look like any old tramp can move in here. That's the truth. That's the way it looks to me.
Oh. During the time that you lived on Connecticut Avenue, where did your children go to school?
Lincoln
School. School on Stratford Avenue?
On Stratford Avenue.
Uh-huh. All of them went there?
All of my children went there.
Oh.
But, I was graduated from
Harding?
Prospect.
Huh?
Lincoln Grammar School. I went to Prospect School. That was bad. I don't know. Anyway, mm-hmm. We did go to Lincoln. Most of us graduated
from Lincoln. Okay, to what do you attribute your long life? Why do you think you've lived such a long time?
I really don't know, because nobody in my family that I can remember as far back as I can remember, nobody in my family lived to be as old as I.
Yes.
Nobody. I can't, as far as I can remember, that's a long ways back, I can't remember anybody.
So if I'm trying to make it, you can't tell me the formula.
My mother died when she was 73, and my father died when he was 66.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to tell me about? I finished all the questions on my questionnaire. So if you have, if there's anything that you want to add to the, you know, to tell me about that, you're welcome to at this time.
I don't think I have anything to add. I think I've told you about all I can think of that's worthwhile telling.
Someone who belonged to your church, and your daughter tells me that you were one of the founders of St. Mark's Episcopal Church. So then, see, you didn't tell me everything. You missed something.
You didn't ask me anything about the church.
When I ask you your church affiliation, and you say St. Mark's, and you stop right there.
Well, I didn't think you wanted to know any more.
I do.
Uh-huh.
I want to know everything about it. Do you have any more secrets?
That wasn't a secret.
Okay.
That was an overlooked. I overlooked that.
Oh, yeah. Well, could you tell me about that now?
We went into, I remember there was a minister there. I think he was a Methodist minister. And I said to him, I said, we don't have a colored Episcopal church here, because I was attending the Episcopal church in Richmond before I came here.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, we don't have any now. He said, perhaps we will have, you will have it. I said, well, anyhow, we worship at Trinity. That was a white church, white Episcopal church. So we used to go there. Every Sunday, they gave us a little chapel that we held our services in. There were only a few of us that gathered, and we held our services in this little
chapel.
And Trinity was very, very kind to us. It didn't cost us one penny to be there.
Where is Trinity?
They demolished it and put a whole lot of stores there.
Oh.
And it was the most beautiful state church you'd ever want to walk into.
That used to be on Broad Street.
Right at the corner of Broad and Fairfield Avenue.
Mama,
the
Trinity now is up there, Golden Hill.
Huh?
There's still a Trinity church. They rebuilt.
Yeah, they rebuilt it.
Uh-huh,
but it's not the same.
They need to keep our records.
No, they didn't keep records. But anyhow, that's where we started, in this little chapel in Trinity. And I've been there ever since it started in 1921.
Mm-hmm. So now, when you left, let me see, all right, so you started there, and then you moved,
I was baptized there and confirmed there.
At Trinity
Church. Yeah.
How long did you stay there, and what did you do to get started over on Newfield Avenue?
Well, I want to tell you, we went from Trinity. What was the name of that?
Why were we at the firehouse, Mama?
We went to Father Dwyer's church. Where was Father Dwyer?
Oh, Father Dwyer. Did he come to the firehouse? They really had
no, he didn't. Father Cuffey was there. Father.
And we went to North Avenue.
Uh huh. Went to.
That was a lovely little church.
We had North Avenue for Beach Street, wasn't it?
Was that Beach Street? Beach
Street.
It was up off of North Avenue.
Yeah.
A lovely little church.
Yeah. And we worshipped there for a long while, and then we came back. No, we
and
went
Father,
to the firehouse first, didn't we?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Father Cuffey came.
And we worshipped in the firehouse while this church was being built, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they brought the stones from that
from a little church on Sylvan Avenue. The stones in our church is from that little monastery like on Sylvan Avenue. And they built this church, and I forget the year. Do you remember?
I don't remember. They built the crypt, the lower part, and we worshiped there until they got the upper part built. But, I mean, it's most unusual to have a church like that, of that kind of stone, you know. And Father Cuffey saw to it that all of the men in the church, all those stones over to Newfield Avenue to build that church. remember?
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful little church.
And Mama, don't forget your affiliation with St. Mary's Guild.
Oh, well, I belong to St. Mary's Guild, one of the ex-members.
Honorary members
now. But I belong to that organization ever since there was an organization in the church. Mm-hmm. When I was raising my children, I couldn't get to church regularly, but I saw that they went to Sunday school every Sunday. But it was hard for me to get to church every Sunday. Like I told Father Covey, I feel so bad that I can't. I had been sick, and he came to see me. I said, you know, I feel so bad being away from church so long. He said, well, you went when you could, and that's good enough, he said. You went when you've been many times to church, and you don't have that to worry about. So I don't worry about the time I couldn't go, but I have been affiliated with that church since 1921. I was baptized there and confirmed there, and all my children were. Thelma originally was a member there. She married Linda Richmond when she turned Roman Catholic. So all of her family are Roman Catholics. Mm-hmm. But the rest of my children are all Episcopalian. All of them are brought up in the Episcopal, all of them are baptized in the Episcopal Church.
But Mama, you didn't tell how you worked hard on the guild, with all the breakfasts and everything that you all fixed and the guild.
Oh yeah, St. Mary's Guild is outstanding organization in that church,
mm-hmm.
women's organization,
mm-hmm.
and it's still going and going very strong.
Uh-huh.
And we have a lovely president. She's been printed there now for quite a few years, and really she would like to have somebody take it, but nobody wants that responsibility. And she's very, very good. Lenora Hines is her name, and she's a hard worker there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my church. And the last time I was able to go was the last Sunday that Father Coleridge preached as a priest. He's now bishop. He's now a Suffragan bishop.
Yeah.
So now we have a woman priest,
mm-hmm.
and she is out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
She is mm-hmm. wonderful.
Oh, good.
She visited with me for 4 hours last week.
Did she?
And she is one grand Christian.
Yeah, I thought this hour was going to tire you out.
And she's young, but the things that you would never believe, the things that woman has done in her life in the church. All of her life has been devoted to the church.
Wonderful.
And she is remarkable.
Oh, wonderful.
But there's a whole page in the Bishop's Post about her. Did you read it?
Yes, I did.
But that's our priest.
Uh-huh.
What is Father Willis? What's his first name?
Sandra
Wilson.
Oh, very
and
good.
And she is wonderful.
I'm glad that you're pleased. I'm sure that it must make you feel good and that you helped to
start
this.
I sent in a writing vote because I didn't know, not being there, that they would take my vote. But I was the 97th voter in her behalf, and they're putting that vote in the records. She told me the records of the church, that vote is going down in the records.
I don't blame them. All right, thank you very much. I've enjoyed this.
Oh, I've enjoyed it. So I hope you got a decent review.
I do have a marvelous review.
You
believe
do?
Me, yes, I do.
I thank you so much for coming. I enjoyed you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I thought it was going to be some person that would be very stiff. I had pictured you as being very stiff and right to the point, and we wouldn't have much to laugh about. But we did find something
yes,
to laugh about.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it so much.
Oh.
This interview was conducted by Francis Judson.